Welcome back, everyone, to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are discussing the Gableman travesty that is coming to the public near you right now. I believe they're still doing some testimony live on WSI. Hooray for us.
I'm keeping an eye on it. I believe they're still in break.
Hooray for them. It's not as exciting as the impeachment trial, but there's still a lot of blustering, and that's fun for everybody.
A lot of grandstanding. That was one of the other things that I didn't get to share right off the top. Gableman brought his own lectern.
Oh.
He pulled the Melissa McCarthy at Sean Spicer and, you know, zoomed in with his own lectern.
My own lectern.
Yeah, that is the mindset that former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman is in. He is so fond of himself talking that he brought a soapbox for him to stand in front of as he gave testimony before the committee this morning.
All I know is that maybe, and this is because I'm a large man myself. I'm 300 plus pounds. Maybe he needed one with extra support.
Lecterns they're not standard practice. Normally, most witnesses that come before these committee hearings, Brian, just sit there at the table.
Most witnesses don't sit.
They don't stand and bring their own lectern in and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to pound my fist on
look, if the cashiers at Aldi can sit on a chair while they check people out, I guess I'll give Gableman himself a lectern. If that makes him more comfortable and easier, more pliable to answer the questions correctly, then you know what, man, you keep your lectern. But a man who does not bring his own lectern around, but has a virtual one, as it's implied. He's an implied lectern. Our buddy Batman, Matt Rothschild, the vigilante of good governance. Matt Rothschild, welcome to the show. Welcome to the. Have you consumed enough popcorn today for the Gableman investigation?
You know, I can't watch that whole thing. I watched as much as I could, but it was making my stomach turn. And you know, part of it was, you know, like Timothy Ransom's wet dream was this thing, because Gableman said dissolve the Wisconsin Elections Committee. We can go ahead and decertify elections if we want. And then all sorts of just crazy stray shooting of some bogus legal theory. You know, part of it also was repulsive in that it was actually an example of repeated video examples of elder abuse. He took lawyers into nursing homes and grilled these elderly people.
Berated them with questions, just
berated them with questions. They actually asked them who they voted for in some instances, which I don't think is kosher. And also, it was just horrible to watch. It was really kind of pornographic in a sick elder abuse kind of way. And then also he was mocking throughout his report the idea that there's such a thing as a community of color, or that there are actually people who are historically disenfranchised. I mean, this guy is just
I missed that part of it. I missed that part of it.
Yeah. It's in there. It's deep in there, but it's nasty. And this is, anyone who watches him knows that this is a nasty man. This is a bombastic buffoon. And, you know, there's nothing new here either. This is just all the kind of right-wing crazy talking points that we've been hearing for months and months. It's an embarrassment to Robin Voss. I'm sure he's embarrassed by it. Another Republican, Senator Kathy Bernier of the Wisconsin Senate Elections Committee, the chair of that committee, has said a while ago that this whole thing was a charade. So this was just the latest performance of the Gableman charade.
Now, the suggestions that Gableman makes, things like decertifying the election, getting rid of the Elections Commission, and basically doing whatever the heck they want to do with the election, The closest thing that I can think of to making that sound even remotely something is the authoritarian regimes of the communist parties that took over China and Russia. The people that, we all won the election. Oh, we won the election for sure. You know, it's one party control. One party controls everything that happens and then dictates the outcomes. How does this even work?
Yeah, well, this is a theory on the far right now. Just forget about the voters. Just let the legislators decide who won the election. And so when Republicans are dominating more legislatures than Democrats, they can decide, you know, even though the vote went one way, they can decide who the winner was just by themselves. So one of his proposals was to get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and just have the legislature take it over. Another one that he floated, which other people have been floating on the right, is give it to the Secretary of State. Now, that supposes that Doug LaFleur, the current Secretary of State, would lose the race to Republican Amy Laudenbach, who dropped out of the state assembly. She was on joint finance, a very powerful position. She decided not to run for re-election so she could run for Secretary of State. So one of the ends in view here by the Republicans is, let's beat Tony Evers, let's beat Doug LaFleur, and then we'll let Amy Laudenbach, Republican stalwart, run the elections for us.
Yeah, Matt, and that's one of the troubling views, because it really seems like they've shifted their focus, because initially this whole review and a lot of the sentiment, I believe, on the right was, well, we need to investigate 2020 because it was stolen from us. And now that you got some individuals on the right that say they've kind of turned it about, and now it's, well, we're not focused on 2020, that's in the past, but we're focused on these improprieties and we need to focus on the future. So it seems like they are signaling that they know that they can't overturn it. You have the majority leader in the assembly saying it's legally impossible. And it seems now that they are focused on 2022 and using these claims of voter irregularities or voter fraud or however they want to frame it as a means to change the rules so they can change the rules further in 2022.
Right. I mean, even Gabelman's report, there's one sentence in there after he discusses how you could actually decertify an election. The final sentence is, so that's not going to change. I'm not quoting here, but the essence was, it's not going to change who's president of the United States right now. They're not going to be able to get rid of Joe Biden that way. So even Michael Gabelman acknowledges that. I'm not sure Timothy Rampton does, but Michael Gabelman does. So, yeah, so then you ask yourself, so what's the purpose of all this casting shade? And the purpose is, number one, to keep the rabid Republican base agitated and angry and motivated to go to the polls this November and all the way through to 2024. And another reason for it is to elect enough Republicans so you can change the rules of the game to make it even more advantageous for Republicans. So this is the long game they're playing.
Now, let's say that, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of bills right now that are going to be voted down by Evers or vetoed by Evers that deal with a lot of the same things that Gabelman is talking about. But again, there's a really good chance that, let's say, Evers loses and, you know, we get a Republican in there that green lights everything. What recourse do we have against this type of thing? Like, if anything like this happens, do we have any recourse? Is there any way of getting it back once that box is opened?
Well, the only way is by voting. You know, there are two nightmare scenarios. One is that Evers loses and these bills go through that are going to make it much more difficult for people to vote, and especially persons with disabilities. And the other one is Evers wins, but guess what? Republicans get a veto-proof majority. And then they can just act like Scott Walker is governor again, because they can ram stuff through, and Evers' veto pen will have no ink in it.
Yeah, those are definitely nightmare scenarios, Matt. What do you contend, though, that there seems to be cracks in the caucus? Do you think that veto-proof majority is going to be something that would come to fruition even if Evers does get reelected? Because it seems to me like the individuals that don't want to put up with this are leaving. They're not the ones running for reelection. They're going to go off and find greener pastures and retire from the legislature rather than, you know, stand up as principled Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature and fight back against some of these thoughts. So do you believe we're going to get even more radical Republicans then kind of elected into these? Or do you think the party in disarray, the GOP in disarray, is going to be able to produce some candidates in 2022 that might not necessarily agree with Voss and rule in lockstep like they have in years past?
Well, actually, I think the crazy caucus, or the whack caucus, whatever you want to call it, is only going to get stronger. And I think Robin Voss is going to not be speaker that much longer. My prediction is Robin Voss is going to run for reelection and then resign shortly thereafter, because I think he's sick of dealing with these crazy folks like Brangin and Rampton, et cetera. and just say, all right, you guys, you want a circus, you guys be the ringmaster. I'm done here. So I think I don't think there's going to be more reasonable Republicans elected anytime soon, not in this climate, because the primaries are going to appeal to people on the extremes. And in gerrymandered districts, you know, the people who are most extreme are going to win most of the time. So that's why we're having this mass polarization. And I think the Republican Party is just going, off this Trump cliff, and there's no sign of them slowing down.
Oh, we like bold predictions here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got our friend Matt Rothschild giving us a pretty bold prediction there, thinking that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss might run for re-election and then resign shortly after. Matt, one of my bold predictions is that this whole charade that's being put on by Gableman is just an ability for him to be able to kind of revamp his image and run for statewide office again, particularly the state Supreme Court seat that is going to be up next spring, about a year from now. What do you think the likelihood that Gableman's really, because we found out today that this was not the final report. This is a preliminary report. And it seems like Gableman is going to be continuing this for at least another month or so. There's really no timeline. He said that whether there's a contract or not, he's going to continue doing the work that he's doing, that he's not done in this review. What do you think the likelihood of him using this as kind of the springboard to run for statewide election again?
You know, Luke, I have had that same nightmarish thought myself, that Gableman, who is so much loved being in the spotlight here, and I think Robin Voss is going to rue the day he put him there, that he can't get enough of the public attention, and he will throw his hat in the ring for the spring 2023 Supreme Court race. And he'd be well positioned to win in a primary Republican vote anyway. So if Republicans turn out in that spring primary or in that spring election, he's likely to have a good shot. I don't know who the liberal candidate is going to be who would run against him. I don't know who might run against him as another conservative, but certainly he would have the inside lane on the Republican side, seems to me.
Yeah, well, I believe Dan Kelly, former Supreme Court Justice as well, has already thrown his name in the ring, or at least is floating it out there as something, trying to maybe get ahead of the Gableman announcement. But
also a red-faced, angry man.
the parallels are shocking.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Kelly has a good shot, though, because he got beat last time, and, you know, what's his claim? You know, I lost. Run me this time. And Gableman's a folk hero of the right now. And those are the folks who are going to go out in his spring election. Go out and vote.
Yeah, it's definitely a terrifying update. Folks, we've got Matt Rothschild on the line with us, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, we just got a couple more minutes left. What are your thoughts on how silent Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, has been today with all of the headlines and updates that we received from the report authorized by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Michael Gableman's testimony today?
You know, I think he wants to keep this at arm's length and wants then to shove it behind him. So I expect he'll just issue some blasé kind of a comment later in the day thanking Michael Gableman for his report and just kind of leaving it that. Because I think the report after today's news stories and tomorrow's newspaper stories, it's gonna vanish. It's just another bit of right wing propaganda. That's all it is. And Voss doesn't want to go near it. I mean, he's covered his backside by already hiring Gableman. Gableman's been a pain for him though, and so I think he's happy to see this thing come and go, especially go.
Yeah, I have a feeling he didn't expect that many depositions that he's had to sit through because of the open records request surrounding this election review. Matt, we really appreciate you joining us here on Dueling Tangents. Folks, we got one segment left in the day. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Thanks so much, Matt.
My pleasure.